Scratch any cynic, and you will find a disappointed idealist. George Carlin. Let's pause for a moment. Pass the thermos, would you? Can anyone's story start with her own self? No. The story only includes us, and if we have any honesty at all, we must trace the line of time backward, meandering through memory and motivations before we move forward. Could you really hear any word from me without first knowing my story? Without first knowing why I care? Why any of this matters to me? My beginnings shaped who I am today. For me, I'll pick up the story with a small family in Western Canada. My parents were raised in early post-Christian homes. Their grandparents had been religious, but their parents were part of the generational shift that simply drifted away from church attendance and religious affiliation. They maintained a more or less connection to the values of their youth, but life got in the way. The wars, the work of keeping body and soul together. After all, the coal mining towns of northern Alberta and the wheat fields and post-war cities of southern Saskatchewan don't give up a living easily. And then, of course, there was booze running through the story, through the blood, through the memories, sometimes a trickle, sometimes a torrent. My root people, my blood family, are gorgeous, deeply flawed, passionate, brilliant, funny-as-hell storytellers, and they are hard workers. My dad grew up in Regina, his carrot-red hair and oft-repeated prophecy of his hot temper. He ran a bit crazy in his teen years, giving his mother fits. He was the son of the small town and the farm, the first generation to be raised in the city. My mother grew up stark thin and lonely, the fourth baby of a child bride from the coal towns of Alberta. There were a few bad years there in the middle of the growing up, those years on the Saskatchewan flats. But her family emerged from that fog to unnamed grace and began to scrabble their way to respectability, to mutual forgiveness and love. My parents met outside their high school. My dad whisked her to a pub in the middle of the school day, and when she told him to take her back to school for her typing test, he grinned and said, "No way." They fell crazy in love, the way teenagers do, and in their wedding picture, they aren't standing sedately beside each other, beaming smug satisfaction about the nice life ahead. No, they are turned together, skinny hips squared, their arms locked tight around each other. My mom and dad found Jesus spectacularly, in a turn-your-life-upside-down sort of way during my childhood. When I was born, my mother felt inadequate. She didn't know if she had what it took to love me the whole way through life. She was barely 23 years old, wondering what love is and where it comes from and why we love and how. No answer felt like enough for her, especially when my sister arrived 2 years later. They had a happy little family in a red split level in Regina, but still, the yearning for something more remained. Our teenage babysitter, Lila, went away to a Mennonite church camp one summer and came home on fire for Jesus, as they said in those days. She looked around her small circle and knew we weren't Christians. So